Tantor Audio presents The Shadow Sorceress by L.E. Modisett, Jr. Narrated by Amy Landon. 1. Two sorceresses stood beside the scrying pool in the domed outbuilding that lay to the south of the main keep of Loiseau. The taller woman had fine white blonde hair, hair that could have belonged to the young woman of 19 that her appearance conveyed. Her thin and finely drawn face was without blemish, without lines, and her piercing blue eyes were clear. Only the fineness of Anna's features attested to her true age. Her figure was nearly as slender and far more girlish than that of the smaller redhead who stood next to her. Anna eased into a straight-backed chair behind the small writing table, then looked at the redhead. "Seca, our good Lord Robero has requested that you visit him at Elheld, preferably within the next 2 weeks. Doubtless he has yet another heir or lord for me to meet, Lady Anna." Seca's mouth offered a sardonic smile as she perched on the tiled edge of the scrying pool. Part of her smile was because Anna had never been able to say, "Robero," without a twist to her lips. Then, Seca had difficulty herself. When Seca had been growing up in Falkor under Anna's tutelage, Robero had been Jim Bob. Only when he'd become Lord of Defalk had he decided Jim Bob was too undignified and changed his name to Robero. "After all these years, he would still have me consorted." "You aren't that old," Anna added. "He doesn't understand you, but he does care for you." "That may be, for he understands women not at all. He understands but strength and power, and that is why he respects you, lady." Anna sighed gently. "I wish it were otherwise. Certainly we tried." Seca nodded sympathetically. While Anna almost never used Lord Jex's name, Anna often said, "we," when referring to what the two had accomplished for Defalk in the less than half score of years when Anna had been regent and sole ruler of Defalk. The former regent spoke seldom of Lord Jex, but Seca had seen the lamps of Anna's rooms still lit late into many nights over the 10 years since his death. While Anna and Jex had been friends, and certainly lovers, consorting had been out of the question. That Seca had understood from the beginning, when Anna had effectively adopted her after the deaths of Seca's parents. For Jex had been a powerful lord in his own right, and the grandsire of Lord Robero, during the time when Anna had been sorceress regent for the underage Robero. "Despite his inclinations, Robero has learned much," Anna continued. "And I am thankful for Alyssa." "So am I," replied Seca. "You know, I never would have consorted you to him." "Alyssa made it that much easier." The two sorceresses laughed, then Anna cleared her throat. "You have something else I am to do?" asked Seca.
"Kylar," Anna said.
Seca winced. The one who suffocated his consort and claimed she died of consumption? Anna nodded. "You wish me to go to Issyl as well?"
"I think you should go there first."
The older sorceress smiled.
"You will be paying my respects to Lord Fustar. He will be most happy to see your young and smiling face."
The smile vanished.
"The pool shows that Kylar does not understand what has happened in Defalk, and that he will abuse any woman he can. He now seeks yet another consort."
Anna looked at Seca.
"You understand how you must deal with Kylar, and with Lord Fustar. Nothing must happen to Kylar while you are at Issyl."
"I understand, lady. Nothing will occur." Seca inclined her head. "I could take the players, and we could stop and add a deck to the road between Mensha and the River Chian on the south end, and then add another deck or so on our return journey from Elheld." Anna shook her head.
"You dislike Robero, and yet you would work to finish paving the road he demands." Why not? He is likely to be lord for many years to come, and it will speed our travel from Loiseau to Elheld. She laughed. At times I would that there were other ways to build his roads. In De Falk there are no other ways. Anna shook her head. Robero doesn't have enough men or engineers or the golds to pay for them, and he cannot call on the lords for anything other than their leetgeld and their levies in battle. So we must build roads and bridges. It's not all drudgery without rewards, Sekka, Anna pointed out. People know we build roads and bridges, and it helps associate sorcery with good things. Given how this land has regarded sorceresses in the past, that's not all bad. I know. Sekka grinned suddenly. I could also use sorcery to repair a wall or bridge or something for Lord Fustar, as a gesture from Loiseau. The older sorceress smiled. That might help. It is hard to see shadows in the light of a favor. Sometimes, Anna replied. Sometimes. Other times light makes the shadows more obvious. This time I think you're right. When should I leave? Tomorrow? If you wish to spend time on the highway and several days being a charming guest at Issel. Sekka nodded, then tilted her head. Lady Anna? Yes. You have that serious tone. I would that you would wait until I return before you send your next scroll to your daughter in the Mist Worlds. Anna nodded politely. At least I could play for you and lessen the effort. We will see, replied the sorceress and Lady of Mentia. I'm not ancient yet. Lady, Sekka tried not to plead, but to convey her concern. Sekka, Anna laughed. Don't turn me into a doddering old lady. No one could do that. The younger sorceress smiled at Anna's tone, smiled in spite of her worries, for she had seen the deepening darkness behind her foster mother's eyes, and sensed the ever-increasing strain that even the lightest of Clearsong spells placed on Anna, for all that Anna looked little different from what she had more than a score of years earlier when first she had arrived in De Falk from the Mist Worlds. 2. In the mid-morning light of early fall, before harvest, a half-score of players stood on the low rise to the west of the dusty road. The majority held violinos or violas, but there were also two woodwinds and a falk horn in the group. Another half-score of players bearing lutars of various sizes stood behind the first group. Sekka, wearing a pale blue tunic, walked toward Palian, the gray-haired and gray-eyed woman who held a violino, and who stood before the first group of players. Chief player? Yes, Lady Sekka, replied Palian. We have almost finished tuning. Good. Sekka nodded, accepting, as always, the necessary formality of Palian's address. We will be using the second building spell. That, too, was a formality, since Sekka and Lady Anna had always used the second building spell for road building, although it had been years since Anna had done heavy building sorcery. Sekka glanced out at the dusty road that stretched northward toward the River Cheon from Mentia. Behind her, nearly 30 decks of sorcery-laid stone paving extended back to Mentia. The gap between where she stood and the paved section stretching south from the river bridge was less than 10 decks, and she hoped that she would be able to complete that section within the next few years, but that depended on what other tasks Lady Anna and Lord Robero laid upon her. She looked toward the lank-haired Delvor, catching his eye.
Second players are ready, lady.
Sekka studied the image on the portable easel, an image with which she was all too familiar, and began to bring up both the image of the road and the spell song itself into her mind. The second building spell, chief player. The second building spell, on my mark, declared Palian.
Mark!
As the notes from the players and their instruments rose into the morning, the first two bars merely to stabilize the players, Sekka waited, and then began the spell proper with the first note of the third measure. Replicate the earth and stones, place them in their proper zones, set all firm and set all square. Weld them to their pattern there. Even before the notes of the players and Sekka's voice died away, an intense bluish glow settled over the dusty track, initially so bright that neither Sekka nor the players could have looked at it, had they wanted to. But all had seen the brightness over the years with each new section of road built. Sekka held herself erect against the faint dizziness that always came with heavy sorcery such as road building, then walked to her mount, a gray mare, and took out her water bottle for a long swallow, before eating several biscuits from her provisions bag. After eating, she turned and looked at the newly created section of paved road. Like the sections created before over the years, the roadway itself was exactly 8 yards across and raised almost a third of a yard above the surrounding ground. On each side was a stone rain gutter, and every 100 yards there was a side drain. The stone roadbed had a slight crown, enough that the infrequent rains of Eastern Defalk would run off into the lower rain gutters. Beneath were layers of stone and gravel, going almost a yard deep.
"How do you feel, sorceress?" asked Palian.
"Fine," Sekka smiled. "How are the players?"
"We can do another spell, perhaps two."
"We'll move up to the end of what we've finished here and do another section," Sekka said. "Then we'll ride north and see how we feel when we reach where the paved section coming from the north begins. I'd like to finish this road before..." She shrugged, not certain what comparison might even be useful. "I'd like to see it finished."
"We can add another deck or so on our return from Issel and Elheld, can we not?" asked Palian.
"I would think so," Sekka replied. "I'd like to be able to tell Lady Anna that we can have the entire road paved within a few more years." Generally, a road spell was good for about 500 yards, half a deck.
"You will," Palian smiled.
"I hope so," Sekka nodded.
"Players, prepare to mount and ride," ordered the chief player.
Sekka folded the small easel and turned back toward her own mount. 3. The harvest time sun was hot and beat down upon the two riders and upon the column of players and lancers in the green of Loiso, who followed them along the dusty lane that led between two hills. Hills covered with hardwoods whose leaves had begun to turn yellow, gold, and deep red. Beside Sekka rode Kylar, the stocky and blonde heir of Lord Fustar. Kylar, a good 10 years older than Sekka, wore a nondescript tan tunic and an indifferent smile.
"Why do you remain an assistant to Lady Anna?"
His tone was casual.
"I do owe her my life and my lands."
Sekka did not look at Kylar, but at the narrow and winding road that paralleled the ancient wooden aqueduct, leading farther back into the low hills.
"Your lands?"
Sekka smiled, although she felt more like drawing her saber and spitting the condescending air to Issel.
"I am already Lady of Flossbend."
"You are that, Lady Sekka?"
He frowned as if he had not made the connection.
"I am that, Lady Sekka. I have been for many years, since I was 9.
"And yet you serve..."
"I am also sorceress heir to Loiso."
"Oh, you are an ambitious woman."
"No, I'm still learning," Sekka pointed out. She saw no need to say that she was ambitious, at least in the sense that she wished to rule her own lands rather than surrender them to a consort, and that she had no intention of becoming a broodmare for some brainless lord.
"You are well past the age,"
when most women have long since consorted and produced heirs?" interrupted Sekka gently. "That is true. Some women see that as their calling. Others see arms, or sorcery."
"Arms? There are few indeed in Defolk."
"But not in Alawa, or in Rannowick, or in Nordway," Sekka replied. "And there are some lords now in Defolk who have women as armsmen."
"Because they cannot find men who will serve them, no doubt,"
rejoined Kylar.
"We have no such difficulties here."
"I am most certain you do not." Sekka gestured at the low line of earth and rock visible through the pass-like opening between two low hills. "Is that the dam your sire mentioned?"
"It is."
Sekka rode along the narrow lane, so close to the maples and oaks that she could almost reach out and touch them, before the lane turned uphill to the east and narrowed even more. Sekka found herself riding single file, with Kylar behind her. As she neared the hilltop, she could see an expanse that had once been cleared, but now held low bushes, including blackberries that had long since been picked. Guiding the mare around the browning and thorny berry bushes, Sekka made her way to an area that had been grazed relatively clear, just above a dried mudflat. She reined up and studied the earth and rock dam, noting the streaks of dampness on both rock and earth. Then her eyes went to the wooden planks that comprised the beginning of the crude aqueduct.
"My sire would have you repair the dam and the aqueduct to the keep," said Kylar,
reining up beside her. "I would have to be here longer than I can be for such," Sekka replied politely. "The dam appears to be failing. That I can replace, and perhaps the bridge work to the beginning of the aqueduct."
"I had understood that you were among the more powerful of sorceresses."
Another shade of condescension crept into Kylar's voice. Sekka looked evenly at the far taller man. "It would take scores of men more than a season to rip down and replace that dam. I will do so in less than a glass. I cannot do more, for I must leave within a few days at the command of Lord Robero, and I must arrive at Elheld able to do whatever sorcery he may require." Kylar looked from the failing dam to Sekka, and then back to the packed rock and earth.
"I suppose any small aid you could provide would be helpful."
"I will certainly endeavor to be helpful." Sekka dismounted and handed the gray's reins to Kylar. "If you would." Kylar took the reins with another condescending smile. Sekka turned and walked downhill to where the players had begun to form up, on the slope to the east of the ancient structure, above the blue waters held in place by the dam. The sound of tuning began to issue from the strings, the falk horn and the woodwinds, and the lutars of the second players. Palian turned toward Sekka.
"Lady Sekka,
I've made some word changes to the second building spell, but the melody will be the same," Sekka told the chief player. "This will take as much as a long section of road. It could take more."
"We will be ready shortly," Palian smiled.
"Thank you." Sekka stood beside the chief player and waited, not wanting to go back anywhere near Kylar for the moment. Shortly, the sounds of tuning faded, and Palian turned to Sekka.
"We stand ready."
"At your mark, then," Sekka said.
"The second building spell at my mark," Palian said, her voice firm. "Mark."
Sekka waited for the opening bars, then launched into the spell song itself. "Replicate with measured stones, place them in their proper zones, set all firm and set all square, weld them to their pattern there. Lock each block in solid place, so no water goes beyond its proper space." Even before the spell was complete, gouts of steam flared upward, white against the blue-green of the clear sky. Rowell and several other players stutter-stepped backward, while the far older Delvor and Palian merely exchanged knowing glances. As her last notes faded into the afternoon, a wave of faintness and dizziness swept over Sekka, and she knew she had pushed harder than she should have. For several moments, she stood facing the narrow gorge, watching as the clean lines of sorcery-dressed and formed stone replaced the irregular rock and earthen berm that had been the older dam. A graceful arched chute now carried water, water that steamed as it streamed down the hot stone and flowed into the old wooden aqueduct. She also observed that the water level had dropped several feet, doubtless as a result of the stone taken from beneath the reservoir by the spell song. Sekka gave a small smile of success before turning and walking back toward the gray mare, where she lifted the water bottle from its saddle holder and took a long swallow. Then she reached for the provisions bag and extracted a biscuit.
"Doesn't seem all that hard,"
offered Kylar, from where he had remained mounted, watching the entire spell song. "It's not," Sekka said politely. "Not after a score of years of training and practice. Just like blade handling doesn't look very hard when the person using it is an expert."
"You just sang?"
Sekka took another swallow of water, debating whether to answer. Finally, she looked up again at the stocky blonde heir. "Each one of those stones in that dam weighs between 5 and 10 stone. It takes work to move them, even with sorcery. The players might be able to do that twice today. They wouldn't be able to play another spell for several days."
"What about you?"
A glint glittered in Kylar's bloodshot eyes. "I've trained longer. I could sing several more spells even without the players." Sekka smiled politely. "Enough to kill a few armsmen, but not enough to destroy a large force." She turned and walked back down to where the players were casing their instruments.
"Will that be all, Lady Sekka?" asked Palian.
"It's more than either Lord Fustar or his heir deserve, but manners require the effort." A faint smile crossed Palian's lips.
"It was always that way, even from the beginning, when Lady Anna first came to Leetwar.
I recall, young as I was." Sekka could remember most of those days, and she had no desire to relive them. Not at all. "I suppose we should have everyone mount up. We'll need to ride back to the keep." The chief player nodded, then turned.
"Prepare to mount."
Sekka walked back to the gray, taking the reins from Kylar. "Thank you." She offered a pleasant smile, then mounted. Once the players appeared ready, Palian lifted a hand. Sekka turned her mount. "If you would not mind, Kylar, we can return to the keep." She let the stocky man lead the way down the narrow trail, then forced herself to draw abreast of his mount as they passed through the gap in the hills.
"You have many hardwoods here."
Sekka gestured toward the red-leafed maples. "Do you have crafters for the wood?"
"No." Kylar shook his head. "My sire allows the master crafters from Falkor to cut a wagon load of the oldest timber every few years."
"For golds, I imagine?"
"Why else?"
The stocky heir laughed. "What do your tenants grow?"
"Corn, mostly. We have a mill, and there is no other for Dex."
"So you collect more golds from that?"
"Not so many as we might, for my sire lets the tenants keep a fourth part for themselves. He is far too generous, and they know it not."
Kylar frowned as his eyes strayed to the south, beyond the ancient brownish walls of Issyl, still more than a deck away. "What else feeds your prosperity?"
"Our wool. Few have flocks and fleeces of such quality as do we."
Sekka nodded, listening as Kylar waxed on. Before long, the road had widened and neared the beginning of the causeway leading to the gates of the keep. Kylar reined up, and Sekka followed his example, as did the players and the company of lancers from Loiso that followed the column.
"Sorceress, if you will pardon me..."
Kylar offered a diffident half-bow from the saddle.
"I needs must attend to another matter before the evening meal."
"I look forward to seeing you then," lied Sekka with a smile. "I know you will deal with what must be dealt with great skill."
"One would hope so."
With a broad smile, Kylar turned his mount and began to ride westward toward the hamlet that held the cots of many of Fustar's tenants. Sekka continued riding toward the causeway. Palian edged her mount up beside Sekka's mare.
"You do not care for him."
"Is it obvious to all?" Palian laughed.
"No, I have known you from the time when you would turn red at trying to utter a falsehood. Few others would see the signs, I would wager."
"What do you think of the Honorable Kylar?"
"Less, if possible, than do you," replied Palian dryly. "He reminds me too much of lords like Danel and your uncle."
Sekka nodded. Both had tried to have her killed as a child. "We need to prepare for dinner. You and Delvor will be above the salt at table."
"I hope the food is good," Palian said.
"It will be better than travel fare and more honest than the conversation that accompanies it," Sekka replied. Both women smiled as they neared the open gates of Issel. 4. Sekka sat to the left of Lord Fustar, a man ancient, thin-faced and beak-nosed, with thin, wispy white hair. The lord's green eyes were intent as he turned at the sorceress.
"I know I have said this before, but it is indeed a pleasure to have you in Issel."
There was a twinkle in his eyes as he added,
"You have not said why you offered your skills to rebuild an old lord's dam, or why you present these old eyes such a feast."
Sekka inclined her head slightly before replying, "Lady Anna would have liked to have been here to offer her best wishes, but she could not. She also felt it was best that I come to know all the lands in the north and east. I have never been to Issel before."
"Ah, yes, the sorceress protector. I have but met her a bare handful of times, and always she looks the same. She will doubtless see us all go, and still preside over the defences of the east."
Fustar laughed, but the laugh turned into a wheezing cough. He reached for the goblet and took a small swallow of the wine.
"Dissonant time, when wine's best used to kill a cough."
He shook his head as he set the goblet down. "She was granted the appearance of youth after she crossed from the Mist Worlds," Sekka said. "But not immortality."
"She seems to have such."
"She says she will die as we all do."
That will be interesting,"
cackled Fustar. His eye flicked toward the figure striding through the door.
"Here comes our wayward heir. Much longer, and he would have been eating scraps."
"I beg your pardon, sir, for coming to table late."
Now wearing a shimmering purple silk tunic, Kylar approached the table and offered an indifferent bow, then turned his eyes upon Sekka.
"A pleasure to see you again, Lady Sekka."
His tone was overly hearty, the cheerfulness forced. Upon closer inspection, Sekka could see that his thick hair was as much silver as blonde, and that fine lines radiated from the slightly bloodshot eyes. "You look well in purple, Kylar," she replied politely. Kylar settled into the empty seat across from Sekka.
"I had a matter to attend to, except someone had already taken care of it."
His eyes flicked lazily toward his father, but did not actually meet the gaze of the older man.
"Ah, yes. the peasant's woman, wasn't it?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?